Good morning. I have borrowed Phil's presentation. It was all ready to go and looks like a good one. So if you like what happens today, it's because of the polish I put on the presentation. If you don't like it, it's because, well, it wasn't my fault. No. But we'd see that at the end of the cartoons. Remember that? Oh, the cartoon's over. Isn't that sad? It's hard when things end sometimes. Yeah, that's a little cartoon. That's not a very big deal to hear that. That's all, folks. So you always get a little chuckle out of that somehow. But then the cartoon's over. Oh, and by the way, don't think we're going home soon. We've got more slides. But we've been reading about the end of an era in Genesis. If you've been doing the daily Bible reading program. And we understand that we ourselves struggle sometimes when things come to an end. It's not always easy. Even was a good thing. You know, if people graduate from high school or college, now you got to find a job. I mean, you're hopeful, but you know, it's difficult. And then some parts of life are even more difficult. You know what? What if the company you work for decides to close the plant you work at? What are you going to do? It's hard when things come to an end. When our kids grow up and leave the house, you think, well, it's sort of a relief, but you know, you really miss them, and that's hard too. So there's good and bad in all these changes that we see in life, but sometimes we struggle when things come to an end, because even if the situation we were in was not perfect, even if we're moving into a better situation, we don't know how to act. You know, we're not as comfortable in a new setting as we are in an old one, even if it was bad. We will see in the coming weeks, you know, when the Israelites start to grumble, they said, well, at least in Egypt we had fish and leeks. When they complained about the food, who in the world would want to go into slavery? So back into slavery, where they've been very harshly mistreated. People don't know how to deal with new things, and especially probably when God sends new things our way. But every new beginning comes from something that just ended. Yeah. Now, Genesis, could be translated, the Hebrew word could be translated beginnings, that the word used to name the book. But Genesis has a lot of endings. So first of all, it begins with a beginning, but then what God makes is chaotic. So God puts an end to the chaos and brings order to the world that he created. There's an end of innocence when Adam and Eve rebel against God. The garden, the life that Adam and Eve lived in the garden, is gone too at the same time. And life becomes difficult for them. There's the end of everyone except Noah. And his family, of course. And then the flood ends. And the earth is new, and they got to start over. There's a tower that didn't get completed because God put an end to it, or the end of the building, so that people would scatter all over the earth as God intended. And as we've been reading, it's the end of the patriarchal system, which Phil spoke about last week. We had the last three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or renamed Israel. God spoke to them and ruled over their family through him. And we're seeing a transition now as Moses is going to come on the scene, where God is going to work differently and start working through prophets and other appointed leaders to deal with the whole nation. It's a whole new system for them. It's all new, but it's not the end. Not even getting close to the end. You know, there's a lot more God has in store as we walk through the Bible history this year. We'll see that God brings changes from time to time. If you, some of us have at least studied World War II. There's a few of us maybe actually remember that time. But a lot of us watched a show on TV, at least occasionally, called The Rat Patrol. And I don't know if you remember that show. Guys in a Jeep with a machine gun, and they were in the North African desert helping the British fight the Germans there. And that's based on a real series of events. The Nazis wanted to take the Suez Canal so that they could get to Saudi Arabia and get oil, because they needed more petroleum to keep their war machine moving. So they came across the Mediterranean from Italy to Libya, and then they tried to head east, and the British, and they fought off and on for years. No, nobody could get all the way across the desert. And finally, General Montgomery was appointed and to take charge of the troops there. And he pushed Rommel, probably the Nazis' best general, pushed him out of North Africa. And so there was a brief pause in the conflict, but Winston Churchill said that, the winning in North Africa is not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. This was the first big military campaign. And what Churchill was saying, we did well this time, but don't get too excited. We've got a lot more work to do, and we're going to have to take Italy and Greece and eventually France and then Belgium. Finally, and the Russians from the other side will have Germany surrounded. That was the long-term plan. He's just saying, we've got a long way to go. And so I think, right here in Exodus, we still got a long way to go. Yeah, my clicker's not working. Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. waiting on the promises of God, it can be difficult for us too. In Genesis 15, verses 13 through 16, now, God had already previous to this account, this incident, God had promised Abraham that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. But here God is revealing the first stage of the plan that he has for the people of Israel. And the Lord said, Abram, you will live to an old age and die in peace, but I solemnly promise that your descendants will live as foreigners in a land that don't belong to them. They will be forced into slavery and abused for 400 years. But I will terribly punish the nation that enslaves them, and they will leave with many possessions. Four generations later, your descendants will return here and take this land, because only then will the people who live here be so sinful that they deserve to be punished. So he said, Abraham, you go to a new land. I'm going to show you the land I'm going to give you and your descendants. And then he reveals to Abraham, he's going to change his name here shortly to Abraham, but he's going to reveal to him, he said, but your whole family is going to go down to Egypt, and they'll grow to a great number and then be enslaved. And that's what a reading from Exodus chapter 1 tells us. That's exactly what happened. But sometimes we got to wait on God's promises. And it's not always easy. You know, we wish it would just all be over. It's okay to wish, in fact, that Jesus would come back. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't know. Abraham got a warning that there'd be 400 years in Egypt, which, as it turned out, it was 430 years altogether that they were there. But we don't have a warning about it. We don't have a timeline. We don't know how long it's going to take for God's plan to work out. But we can be assured that God does have a plan, and however many stages, however many new beginnings and endings we have to go through as individuals and as a church, God is working towards the resolution of a problem. And this is a real interesting way that God does this. He gets the people into Egypt with Jacob, when Jacob moves down with the whole family. And of course, Joseph is a high-ranking official. He's in good with Pharaoh, and so they get very good land for their livestock, and over the years they grow to a great population. That's what God intended. And then they're enslaved. Well, God, did you think this through? But at the end of it, what we'll see, and I don't know if we've got that quite in the reading, but he said the promise is they're going to leave with many possessions. After the 10 plagues, the people of Egypt were so fearful that they just basically tell people, take anything in my house you want and leave. Take some wagons, you know, so you can haul it away. And so the Israelites are going to plunder the Egyptians without holding a sword to anybody's throat. They're just going to be told, take anything you want and get out of here. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide, please. So Abraham's family, as I said, grows, they go down to Egypt. But God had made a covenant with Abraham. That's important for us to remember that God kept his promise. Not all the details of the covenant were probably what Abraham would have wanted for his family. But in the end, it worked out in a way that was advantageous to the Israelites so that when the time was right, they could take the land of Canaan. And he sends the deliverer, Moses. You know, Noah delivered the world with a boat, and Moses is saved by one. I don't know if there's any significance to that, but think about the role water plays. And I'm not sure about the significance. They're leaving Egypt. The Israelites are leaving Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea. Now we're trapped. The Egyptians are right behind us, and God opens up the sea so they can walk across on dry land. God is in control, and we don't always see the way out of our problems until God opens the way for us. So we ought to remember, especially the Israelites at the Red Sea, don't despair, trust God. He will provide a way of escape. Now, other things we might be able to mention. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost their freedom in a sense. You know, they were at least free from the need for difficult labor. They had it pretty easy living in the garden, even though they were working. Adam was told, "Now you're going to sweat. You know, if you want food, you're going to have to really work for it, and the ground is not going to cooperate with you," which is the more important thing. God was protecting the garden so that it was easy for them to find the food that they needed. But it's an end of freedom, the same as the end of freedom at the in the first chapter of Exodus, as we just read. So we go through these cycles where bad things happen, sometimes because of human evil, whether we bring it on ourselves like Adam and Eve did, or whether it's brought on you by other evil people, things happen. But it's all part of God's plan, so far as we can see in the scriptures. Would you go to the next slide, please? So, but God's always looking for something new. And we don't know what's going to happen between now and the time that Jesus comes back. But God wants to make things better. God wants to restore things to the way they were in the Garden of Eden. Not just because it was a more beautiful setting, not just because he would like us to be able to live without pain and without worry, but because he wants to restore fellowship with us. He wants a good relationship with us more often. Often he wants a good relationship with us more than we want that same relationship with him. But when Jesus comes back and we see in Revelations, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." I think the next last chapter is where that quote comes in. When God makes something new, it's not just different. The newness God wants to bring to his creation is a restoration to the perfection that it had, or near perfection. Anyway, it had at the very beginning. So we watch and we wait and we hope. But all the problems these people have in the Bible as we're reading through it, yeah, sometimes it's their own fault and sometimes it's not. But the answer is always turn to God and trust him. Because he wants us to have newness of life, even as we live this mortal life before Jesus comes back. He wants our spirits to be renewed and remove the alienated relationship that's developed between us and him. God's arms are open wide to welcome us, but we have to walk to him and accept his forgiveness and accept him as the true God. So we can have a new beginning today, and in many ways. Of course, if you're not a Christian, you can come to Jesus. If you are a Christian and you need to change some things, you can go to Jesus, and he'll listen and he'll welcome you, because he wants to make you new, so that you don't have to live in fear of judgment. He wants to make you new so that you can enjoy the happiness, the confidence that comes with a healthy relationship with God. And you can... You don't need me or anybody else to pray for you, but anybody that wants prayers or wants to be helped in any way, you can come forward while we stand and sing.